Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. We're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're looking again at those two verses, 25 and 26. We're looking again because there's so much in those verses, boys and girls. And if I was a really good preacher, I could be taking things out of those verses from now till this time next year, because there's so much there. We need eyes to see just what there is in God's Word. The psalmist prayed, "Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Sadly, our eyes are not open as they should when we come to the Bible. Consequently, we don't see anything. If you ran outside and closed your eyes, you wouldn't see what's in the fields opposite. You wouldn't see anything. But when you open your eyes, well, then immediately you see there's sheep out there, cattle out there. You can see the clouds moving across the sky. Sadly, you can't see too much of the sun today, but there's a lot to see just the same when your eyes are open. Well, it's the same when you come to God's Word. God has got to open the eyes of our understanding. People say, many people say, "Oh, I never get anything out of the Bible." That's not because there's nothing in the Bible. That's because their eyes are closed. Well, let's read the verses 25 and 26, reminding ourselves just what it is that is said. We're talking about Moses here, and it is said of him that he chose something, and what he chose was rather unusual. Look at it. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, the last time I was with you, Thursday morning past, we were looking at the fact that the thinking of Moses was very different from the thinking that we find in the world today. He was thinking about eternity, while all around him there was a thinking only of today and what pleasures could be obtained today. That's why I chose that wee hymn. Well, I say I chose it. I feel the Lord had more part in that, because it just came to my mind before the meeting. I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. In other words, when my day is over. When through wonderful grace by my Saviour I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Do you understand what the hymn writer is saying there? My thoughts are centered, he says, on that beautiful land, heaven, heaven. And I want, when I get to heaven, to be one who has lived for God while here on earth, and so receive rewards. The rewards of the Christian are spoken of as stars in our crown. Common thing throughout history, when those who had done well in war and had gained victories, that they were given a crown. Well, long before men thought of that, God thought of that. There will come a day when God will hand out crowns to those who have served him and gained the victory over the world. So, Moses was one who didn't think like the world, but he was thinking of that beautiful land. He was thinking of eternity. And because of that, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for the season. That's the thinking of Moses. That's the plan that he lived by. And we want to notice, first of all, that Moses was aware of something. He was well informed about something. And that something that he was informed of was that the pleasures of sin are only for a short time. Now, sin does bring a little pleasure. Yes, a little pleasure. But it's only a short pleasure. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. And Moses realized that. Now, it's great to be informed about that. It's great to have that knowledge, boys and girls. Because out there in the world, they don't have that knowledge. They don't understand that. They think that sin is everything. And the pleasures that it gives. Why? That's the most important thing. We're in the midst, as you know, you older ones in particular, though I'm sure all of you are aware to some degree, we're in the midst of something of a crisis, not only here in our land, but across the whole world. There are countries battling the virus, COVID-19, and they're battling this virus because it brings death, it brings illness, and it has brought illness to millions, and it has brought death to hundreds of thousands of people. And there's a battle on against it. But you know, a lot of people choose to ignore the danger of this virus. And what persuades them to ignore the danger of the virus is their love for sin. They want to go down to where others are gathering and drinking and dancing and what they would consider having fun. And although they're warned, now if you go down there, you can well be infected with this virus. They say, I don't care. I want to enjoy the pleasure that I will find there in that crowd. And so they just put the danger behind them. Well, that's a picture of what's going on generally and has been going on generally throughout the world, throughout the ages. The Bible says, I wrote these words to someone just the other day, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what sin brings, death. And it's not just speaking of us dying physically, it's speaking of eternal death, separated from God for all eternity in a place of torment. It's called the lake of fire, and that surely pictures for us the very height of torment and suffering. And that's the wages of sin. That's what sin will bring. But men and women and boys and girls have chosen throughout the ages to ignore that, put that out of their mind, in order just to have a little sip of the pleasures that sin brings. Well, Moses, he had an understanding of this matter, and he says, I'm not going to choose sin, for it doesn't last. Comes to nothing. Boys and girls, it is one of the great truths that will benefit you if you get a hold of this. The world advertises sin and says it's wonderful. The devil shouts loud about sin and would tell people it's glorious. But God says it will bring death, eternal death. And for you to learn that lesson is vital. Do you realize that? Do you realize that today? Sin is followed by judgment. Men value sin, love sin, because they're in ignorance of the fact that it's going to bring them eternal damnation. But Moses knew this. He was aware that the pleasures of sin was only for a season. Then something else. Moses decided on the basis of that knowledge that it's better to suffer affliction with God's people than to follow sin. Basically, those are the two choices. You go with sin and you reap the harvest of damnation. Or you go with the gospel and go with God's truth and go with the Lord Jesus and link yourself onto his people and bear the afflictions that comes with doing that. You see, God's people are not liked in this world. They're not liked. They're different. And what's more, their whole witness is displeasing to the world. On Saturday past in Cookstown, there were a number of Christians, most of them Free Presbyterian, who gathered to witness for the Lord, to warn neighbours that what was taking place on the main street in Cookstown, when a small group of individuals paraded in support in order to promote a great sin, something that God's word utterly condemns. Well, this group of people were marching slowly down the main street in Cookstown, indicating that they supported these sins that God was against. And the Christians who gathered in Cookstown were there to say, this is wrong. These people are deceived, and don't you be deceived by them. And they held up various texts of scripture that showed what God thought, what God said, what God commanded, regarding sin. Now, the Christians who were doing a good thing, they were warning people of a great danger. They were telling people that this is wrong and it'll bring God's judgment on you. And you'd think people would say, thank you for telling us that. No, so many didn't. One lady walked past, pointed at the Christians with their gospel texts and said, you're hatred. That's what you are. Hatred. Filled with hate. And then pointed to these people who were promoting the most awful wickedness and marching in support of it. Out there on the main street, this dozen people who were supporters of wickedness pointed out to them and said, they represent love. Well, they did. They represented a love of what's wrong, a love of sin. But that woman was angry. That woman was very angry because Christians stood up and said what God taught. There was another mother with a wee baby in her arms. A wee baby. And I can't but feel sorrow for that wee baby because it was in the arms of a woman who would do her best to fill the mind of that baby with the devil's lie. Because when she walked past, she held her hand up just like this, pointing with one finger upward and saying, no God! No God! No God! That's what she was saying. There's no God. There's no God. And that little baby held in her arm, that's what that little baby will be taught. The biggest lie, the greatest falsehood that could ever come from the lips of a human being. That's what that child will be taught. We ought to be sorrowful for that child. And maybe when you're praying, I don't know the name of the baby and neither do you, but God knows that child. Just pray God will have mercy upon that child and somehow or other bring it out of darkness when it gets older to a knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there was bitterness. But it's better, Moses decided. It's better to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for a wee while. You see, boys and girls, to suffer reproach and name-calling and opposition here on earth for a time and then to have an eternity of joy in heaven, that's better than to have just a little pleasure here on earth and live in disobedience to God, just a little pleasure, only to suffer eternal damnation afterward. Now, if we were to weigh this up and put what Moses thought on one side and what the world thinks on the other, why, Moses' side would tilt the scales very quickly and very much. Moses was right. It's better to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin just for a short time, for a season. The Lord Jesus had this to say, boys and girls, because, you see, to be a Christian means you will suffer affliction, some more than others. Even today, throughout the world, there are Christians suffering terribly. Never you forget that. You're free here in this land. We have many liberties. You're able to come to a Christian school. You're able to open your Bible and listen to the Word of God, and nobody says a word against you. Oh, there might be people out there that would like to stop it all, but they have no significant power at the present time. But there are other parts of the world, and if you lived there, you wouldn't be allowed to do what you're doing now. And if you tried to do what you're doing now, you'd likely end up in jail, or worse. So, to be a Christian has ever brought trouble, has ever brought opposition and hatred upon the one who seeks to serve the Lord. And in the light of that, the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, do you notice that? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For doing what's right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, mock you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, because of the Lord Jesus. You see, that's what brings the hatred of the world upon us. When we stand with Christ, the world hates us. If we stood with them, the world would think we're wonderful. If we joined in with them and talked like them and acted like them and lived like them, the world would think us great people. But once we stand with Christ, because it hates him, it will hate us. Do you understand that? Yes, there is affliction. There's a lady at the present time going through court in England because when she discovered that her primary school, where I think at least one of her children attended, was teaching the most wicked rubbish, she put up on her Facebook page something of what the Bible had to say about this matter. Somebody saw it, told the headmaster, and the lady who had a position in the school, I think she might have been something like a classroom assistant. Well, she was told, you can't have those things put up on your Facebook. You can't say those things. This is awful. This is terrible. And you're sacked from your position now. All because she stood up for what was right and quoted the Bible. And she's in court now because she's brought the school to court and she's suing the school for false dismissal. But it's only an example of what happens when you try to live for the Lord. You're going to suffer affliction. Well, Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction with God and his people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. One final thing. What persuaded Moses to make this rather unusual choice? Well, look at what it says in the verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now what is that saying? Well, it simply is saying Moses did a little calculation. Now he didn't have a calculator, but he thought to himself, let me see now, what is there for me to consider? The riches of Egypt and the pleasures that it will bring for a short time, or the reward of God in heaven for all eternity? Which would be better? And he said to himself, I know what would be better. The recompense or the reward, the payment of God's reward. That would be better than what Egypt can give me. So that's what persuaded Moses to take the road that he did. He esteemed, put a value upon the reproach of Christ and considered it better, greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Because God would reward him one day for bearing reproach for the Lord Jesus. And the reward of the Lord Jesus, unlike the treasures of Egypt, which would disappear and come to nothing, God's reward would be forever and ever and ever. And he thought, there's no doubt about it. There's no question here, really. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm going to serve the King because in the end, it will be better for me. See, boys and girls, it's a bit like when you're getting ready for exams. You have studying to do. Now, study is not a nice thing. It's not a particularly pleasurable thing. But what makes it easier to study is the fact that if I study hard, I get a good result in the examination. That's what makes study at least acceptable. And boys and girls, being a Christian in this world oftentimes brings sorrow and hardship and grief, but what makes it worthwhile is that when God's examination takes place, I'm going to get a good mark. I'm going to do well. That's how we ought to live. We ought to think as did Moses. Keep this in mind. And as the hymn that we began our assembly with, I am thinking today of that beautiful land. Is that what you're thinking of? Oh, give thought to eternity, boys and girls. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and keep you safe today. Let's bow in prayer. We do pray, Lord, for your blessing. We cannot but think of those who once went to our school. We pray for them. We think of Amy today, Lord, and her need. And we commit her to thee and her little baby and her husband. And bless each boy and girl here. Grant, Lord, that they may give thought that God will cause eternal matters to come before their mind, that they might choose as did Moses. Bless our school. Undertake for it in the midst of the confusion, Lord, that is upon our nation at this time. For Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.